بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت مولانا مظهر جان جانا رحمت اللہ علیہ, he is the شیخ of قاضی ثناء اللہ صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ. And قاضی ثناء اللہ صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ, his سلسلہ thereafter continues. And then you find people like Ghulam Ali, and then you find Khalid Kurdavi, they come under the same silsila, who are the mashayikh of Allama Alusi and Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi. So these are great people, very very great people. People would frequent to him, like to meet him, take his barakat and his blessings, and they would ask for permission, that we need to meet you, need to take blessings from you, barakat of your association and company. And he would turn them down, he would refuse. Someone wanted to know that, why is it that you turn them down? So he says that I very much desire to meet people, but I have a very very fine temperament, extremely fine temperament, Latif. Temperament was so fine, look at a situation like this, not the carpet is spread out, and if it is spread out unevenly, it will give him a severe headache. So that was the fineness of his temperament. One person used to come and pay him a visit once a year, a really fat person, really obese, really extra. He once asked Hazrat, I want to offer my khidmat, my service to you. Hazrat tried to push him away, divert his attention to something else. He said, no, very sincerely, I want to do your khidmat. And again, he would turn him away, kept on insisting, till the point of crying. So Mirza Mazhar Sahib Rahmatullahi then answered him, you see, you come and visit me once in 6 months, right? So you can just delay your visit once a year. Coming once in 6 months, so you can just make it once a year. So when you come here, you are too obese, extremely obese. Imagine a person 200 kilos, so big he is. When I see you, then I feel nauseous. He is, man, how is he eating and all that? And then, just to get over the nausea, I have to take some type of a purgative, a laxative, and clear my system out. I used to be doing this all the time, but now I am reached old age. I don't have the strength. So now, twice a year, I have to take this thing. It's taking the toll on me. So he's, by nature, he was very, very sensitive, very, very sensitive. Right? Now, in this day and time, people are also sensitive. Someone may think, hey, Mona is hitting it to me. Mujhe sunaya ja raha hai, mane hamra vich. Doesn't have this type of thoughts, it's just thoughts that are coming. As the thoughts come, I will speak. So don't think it's being directed to anybody in particular. So anyway, I'm showing you the fineness of his mizaj, his temperament. Very, very refined. The king asked to meet him. And one of Mazarsab was quite reluctant, but then king, you know, there is a quotation in fiqh, Amru Sultani Ikrahum. The king's order, the ruler's order, that is a compulsion. It's compulsion. You know, you under compulsion you give in. So that king's order, that's the status it has. For example, when we say ikrah, the word in fiqh, when we say ikrah, then it is used to explain something that is done not in normal circumstances. You are forced. You are forced, absolutely forced. Under duress, you know, you say under duress, you've been forced to do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done it. Someone asks you to drink wine. I say, oh, go, I'm not going to drink it. But now under duress, it's your life, then you will take it just to save your life, right? So the command of the king is also a duress. It is not just an ordinary command. Another person's command, instruction, you can just ignore it. Yeah, you can't ignore it. He's got power, he's got authority, he's got influence. So the king wanted to meet him, allowed him. And whilst he was seated there, he asked for some water. So the Mirza Sahib asked him, this is a clay pot, you can help yourself. He helped himself, and as he's about leaving, so the king is asking, I want to offer some khidmat. I want to offer some khidmat, some service. So Mirza Sahib Rahmatullahi told him, see, I was not supposed to tell you this much, but now you are looking for my ease, therefore you are asking that you want to offer yourself for my khidmat, for some service. He says, my khidmat is don't come again, don't come in future. He said, why? But I'm offering you my service, my khidmat, and then you are telling me that I mustn't come again. So you see, you went and helped yourself with the water, and then you couldn't place the cup correctly. See, it's skew. It's crooked, crookedly placed. Now I got a headache for that. On your side, you want to offer the khidmat. The khidmat you're offering is causing the headache to me. So brother, you don't come. So that will bring me some type of rahat and comfort. Right. So I'm just showing you that this Buzurg's mizaj, his temperament was very refined. He couldn't take it. Was a Buzurg, and the highest Buzurg of his time, Naqshbandi Sheikh. You know this Sheikh Zulfiqar will come. So they come under his order, under order of Maulana Mazhar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Naqshbandi. So anyway, when he turned down that person's request that other doesn't want to meet, so they wanted to know, why are you turning away people's request to meet? Good association, they're coming with good needs. So he says, this I was not supposed to be disclosing, but now you people are pressing me, so I will tell you the reason. When people come here, I've got a fine temperament, right? That's my nature. I'm refined, extremely refined. Now how to understand this refined temperament? You are seated for meals, right? And someone says that someone died, that you knew you were attached to. You can't eat afterwards. You can't take one look more into your mouth. See that refinedness. And there will be another person, everything can go on. Someone can die, someone can be killed, and he'll be carrying on. It doesn't affect him anyway. So it doesn't, this doesn't mean that you are pious or you are righteous. This refined temperament is not an indicator of righteousness, of virtue, or something one must try and aspire to acquire. It is just a nature, it's natural for that person. Don't get now scared, I don't have this in my temperament, so there's something wrong in me spiritually. No. It's a refined temperament, it's a nature. Someone's tabiat is like that. Ghulam Ali was Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's khadim and his murid. So there was one type of mitai at that time. They should call it loaves. Loaves now, it should be shaped like a badam. So anyway, some loaves that mitai came for Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he gave it on to Ghulam Ali. So the next day, Ghulam Ali came, that is his khadim and murid, and through whom his silsila runs and flows today. He says, "Us loaves ka kya hua? What happened to that loaves I gave you yesterday?" He says, "No, I finished it up." He got a headache. "Oh, you finished it up? That was meant after eating, after meals, you take one. I gave you 40, you finished everything one time." So he was really, really refined, you understand? Very, very refined temperament. So they asked him then, "Why are you stopping people from meeting?" He says, "No, I wish to meet. And I see now what's the consequence. The consequence is that these people come and meet me and they cause some type of pain to me. Because of some inconsistency, not right in some way or the other, the inconsistent, so they cause some pain to me, some taklif to me. And on account of that taklif and that pain that they cause, then Allah Ta'ala comes to my rescue, Allah Ta'ala punishes them." Right? Now this is now involuntary. I am so refined, and that's not of my own, it's not of my own doing. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah's father, Mawlana Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his mother had to employ the service of a midwife to breastfeed. Right? So he would just refuse, he would not drink milk. That midwife must take a bath, she must change her clothing, she must apply some type of ether. Now will he drink the milk? You see that temperament. Now, can you say that this was righteousness, virtue? No, it was a child just born now, 2-3 days. And he won't, he'll refuse taking the milk. So that is his nature. Right? So anyway, he says that people come and there is some type of inconsistency. They're talking something, they're not supposed to be saying it. They're meeting at some time, they're not supposed to be doing it. Anytime, every time. Yeah? So there is a system. See, a man has got a limitation. Every man has got a limitation. That is the shan of Allah Ta'ala, that you can take anything and at any time you can take it. Millions of things are happening at one and the same time. Someone is born, someone dies, someone is getting sick, someone is hospitalized, someone is becoming poor, someone is becoming wealthy, someone is going through some misfortune, someone is going through another misfortune. So millions of things happening at one and the same time, and Allah Ta'ala is in perfect, complete control of all that. But man, how much can he take? He takes so much. He can't take beyond that. So you need to understand that he can take so much, I must work accordingly. Now, any time, every time. Right? Now that goes against his temperament. Right? It may be good what you are doing, but now, is he in the mood? Is it the right time that I am speaking? So we should observe these things, we should understand. And you go for business or anything, then you see now, this is my supplier and I have to respect him. Just now I do something against his temperament, he will just cancel the order. He's giving me good terms and also you conscious about it. But I must get the person, I must talk to him, but I must talk to him whilst he's in a good mood. Anytime and every time, that's not the appropriate thing. So he says, "Main toh chahta hun, I'm desirous to meet people, but wahan se jawab na kahta hai. If you want, you can forgive." Allah Pak's reply is, "If you want, tu chahe to maaf kar, albatta hum to maaf karte nahi. If you want, you can make maaf, but we're not going to make maaf." So then I thought, now how to save the makhluk from punishment? Rather, I don't meet them. Now the question comes, then these people, how do they benefit the creation? See, this is our naivety, our limitation, and it's our limitation, our naivety, and we feel they're not doing da'wat. Da'wat was the sunnah of the Anbiya, and they're not doing da'wat. What do you understand? One is the da'wah that is done actively. You're speaking from a minbar, from a platform, you are speaking is a da'wah. Right? And one is to strengthen the hearts of the believers, of the Muslims, pious, righteous, etc., to strengthen the hearts. That's also required in da'wah. Like da'wah, the one thing that is required is to speak. Another thing that is required, ta'aleem. Right? The third thing that is required is to strengthen the person. لِيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامِ Allah Barakat, to send those malaika to strengthen those people there. So this is also required in da'wah. You're going and you're coming back. And when you're coming back, you're giving a report. When they hear your report, they gave you something and they enhance your spirits. They pick up your spirits again. Again you go, and again they enhance your spirits. So these people, they strengthen your heart. How do they strengthen your heart? Through their du'as. Right? Through their du'as, their righteousness, their ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. Your hearts are inspired. Hazrat Muhammad Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi liked this poetry. It says, Teri talab bhi kisi ka karam ka sadaqa hai. Teri talab bhi kisi ka karam ka sadaqa hai. Ye qadam uthte nahi hai, uthaye jate hai. He says, this love I have got for you, this yearning that I have got for you, Allah Ta'ala, that is the result of someone's dua. These feet, they don't get up themselves. They are turned, they are moved on that direction. Don't you see, Umar radiallahu anhu is a result squarely of the dua of the Beast Allah. Don't you see that? Ye kadam uthte nahi hai, uthaye jate hai. It's a result of the dua of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the previous Islamic dua. Now Umar can't say, you know, I did it. I was looking for the truth. No. Yeah, it was someone's dua that moved him on that end. So now this is our problem. We see some person not doing the type of da'wah that we are used to, and we say, no, he's not in da'wah work. He doesn't know about tabligh. So people are doing, and they are doing it differently. See, the great problem in this day and time is we don't have the required amount of confidence in our elders. See? And why we don't have too much of confidence is we're listening to too much. Listening to one tape, listening to one waz, one radio, one bayaniya, one kitabiya. The whole kachumar is in our mind. Now, see, he's not doing da'wah work. That's a result of the type of information the mind is fed with. The mind can't take it. He wants to reconcile now. I heard here, I heard this there, and I heard this here now. But now how do you put this together? I can't seem to putting it together. So the awliya ulama-i kiram, they are the deputy, they are the representative of the anbiya. They can never be the deputy and representative of Allah Ta'ala if they're not doing da'wat. Because the whole mission of the Nabi is to do da'wat. That's his whole mission. Can you imagine that these awliya and these mashayikh and these ulama-i kiram aren't doing da'wah? They're doing it, but they're doing it some other way. There's one way, there's another way, there are many other ways. Okay? So if he's doing it in a different way, then why do we object? See? So Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, the founder of the Tablighi work, he used to say, Mu'tariz, yahan se bhi mahroom, wahan se bhi mahroom. These awliya-i kiram, you have to fear them. Mashayikh, awliya-i kiram, fear them. Because you're going to make objections to everything of theirs, then you are going to be deprived. Now, he is the founder, he's telling you. What he's telling you? You're going to make objections to their work and their procedures, then they're not going to get affected, you're going to get affected, you're going to be deprived. You're going to be deprived. Why? So why have this type of reservations about them? Why have this type of objections, reservations? He's doing, so long as he's not contradicting the sunnah, he's not opposing the sunnah, is an alim, buzurg, pious person, righteous person. Now then when we see anybody, he's not crossing the lines with us, then we say, no, he's against. Unnecessary, you're going to get landed with the problem eventually. Eventually, it's you going to sit with the problem because of your objection. There is a discussion. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu is there, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala is there. Comes in Bukhari Sharif. And Abu Bakr radiallahu stepped the mark a little bit and he said something that he was not supposed to say. Anyway, Umar radiallahu ta'ala felt affected. Abu Bakr realized that it was my mistake. I said something, you know, when you're always working together, then there will be a point where there's going to be something raising of voice, something's going to happen. It's not going to be possible that you're not going to raise your voice, not going to shout. Sometimes you'll shout, something will happen. So we need to take these things in their stride. You're working, got a working relationship all the time. So sometimes you're not in a mood and you said something. So as long as this is not his habit, then you have to work, you have to understand that this is human being, this is a human being, he must behave like this. Sometimes there must be some blow up. He may shout. So I need to take it in the stride. Now, you have to know that one time he blew up, and one time he was short fused, and then I hold him for that, then you're not going to work with anybody. You're not going to be able to work with anybody. There's going to be a fuse up. Sometimes your parents are going to be talking above their voices. You know, hey, my father or my mother is very hot-headed. Well, it's once in a while it'll happen. But because of that one incident, isolated incident, you hold the person by that. That's the wrong thing that you are doing. So Abu Bakr realized it was his mistake. Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was affected and he went away. As he went away, Abu Bakr realized radiallahu anhu, that I made a mistake. And I said something that I was not supposed to say. And he went behind Umar to ask for maaf. Umar radiallahu anhu was still angry, still affected. So he didn't respond. Now Abu Bakr's taqwa and relationship with Allah is extremely great. You can't imagine. It's beyond our imagination how great he was. Far, far beyond. You can't understand a wali. Where are you going to understand Abu Bakr? Where are you going to understand a sahabi? It's far beyond us. See? Like a drop is trying to understand the ocean. You can't understand it. So immediately he did an immediate realization, and he is really, really going helter skelter now. Now the right thing was to go to Umar to ask him for a maaf, but now he is still affected. So he says, now the next recourse is go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will intercede, and then he'll have to give in. He will definitely give in. Right? So he went to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Here Umar radiallahu anhu realized that the man asked me for maaf, and I should have humbled myself. I should have calmed down straight away. But it takes anger to subside. It takes some time for the anger to subside. Anger doesn't subside straight away. So you give the man a time, therefore the hadith also has given us time, 3 days. You angry with the person, right? More than 3 days don't leave the person. It will take time for the whole anger to subside. Here it was Sahaba Kiram, so it was extreme anger, but in one go that anger was completely quelled. And Umar radiallahu anhu, just about half an hour's time, after half an hour he's also finished, smashed down. So they were of a different league. Their anger had calmed down straight away. Here the hadith gives us that allowance, 3 days, not more than 3 days. You pulled up and pull up your face 3 days, too much. After that, don't carry on, go on pulling up your face. I see the person, then you make up an excuse now, like you didn't see the person, then you turn, moving the other direction. Meanwhile, he's observing what you are doing. Or you see the person, then you see another brother, someone next to you, then you so thickly get into a conversation with this person so as to ignore that person. So 2-3 days is enough. After 2-3 days, then don't go on. Don't be like a woman or girl. You pulled up and you're stiff. No. 2-3 days is enough. Really, my experience is if you try to spite, then you will get hurt. If you try to spite the next person, you will get hurt. And if you have a forgiving approach, forget it now. Bygone is bygone. Forget it. Have an open temperament, open heart. You find that it's forgotten, it's gone. There's a lot of things I'm covering here, you see. When living, communal living, wife, husband, children, there's going to be problems. You're working together, there's going to be problems. So you must take in the stand. Why did you speak to me like this? And how can he say me this? And he doesn't know who I am. Anyway, all this happened. So Umar radiallahu anhu realized that it was my mistake. When he came to me for maaf, I should have made him maaf finish. Why did I stretch this? So he came running to ask Abu Bakr for maaf. You know, I had been seriously disturbed, so I wasn't thinking carefully, and I came to ask him for a maaf. The moment Umar radiallahu anhu comes to the presence of Rasulullah, Abu Bakr is seated there. Rasulullah heard the story by now. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded Umar radiallahu anhu. Antum tariki li sahibi. Will you people just spare my companion? Will you spare my companion? Abu Bakr is saying in between, Ya Rasulullah, but it was my mistake. I started the whole thing off. I raised my voice and I spoke in this manner. In an unbecoming manner, I spoke to Umar. It wasn't his mistake. And Nabi Sam went on repeating this. Are you people going to spare my companion for me? Are you going to spare my companion for me? What we understand from this, these are such awliya and mashayikh and buzugan adeen that unki ulti bhi sidhi ho jati hai. They are such people that even if outwardly it seems that they're doing something that is incorrect outwardly, right? But there may be some fine explanation for what they are doing. What they are doing, there may be a fine explanation for it, and for that fine explanation, they will be justified. Right? But because we don't know the fine explanation, we don't know, and we don't need to know what's the explanation, why they're behaving in that way, therefore we'll object. And when we object, then we get deprived. So you see, Abu Bakr, outwardly it would seem someone is presiding over this case, what he'll say? That Abu Bakr is at error, he's on the wrong. Because Umar radiallahu anhu was right. Outwardly someone is, just minus the names, leave all the names of the personalities and talk about the story like this without the personalities. What will anybody say? He'll come to the conclusion that Abu Bakr's mistake, isn't it? Won't he come to that conclusion? He'll come to that conclusion. But now some people, because of the services that they rendered for deen, they have come to such a position that if some mistake happens in the procedure, Allah says, I've made maaf everything, I've forgotten. Allah doesn't forget. It is impossible for Allah to forget anything. But it's written off, don't worry about it, I won't make a mention of it. So there are some people that are like that. So there are awliya also that are like that. Some things we may not understand. We may not understand why they are doing some things in a certain way. But as the Shaykh Rahmatullah says, through these people, you'll find a lot of good is being spread. Umar radiallahu anhu, the hadith likens him to a fort, to a wall, right? Once this wall crashes, this fort breaks down, then you'll find a whole storm and a flood of fitna flowing. You see his dua, his piety, his righteousness, he is stopping. Is apprehending that fitna, stopping that fitna at its on its tracks. So similarly, you have some awliya and mashayikh, that fitna and evil, etc., are stopped in their tracks. You have them. Their dua, their piety, their crying to Allah, it stops it. And they die, and you see everything is gone. So their hearts are in constant communication with Allah. their love, their fikr for the ummah, their muhabbat for people. They are doing a fair share of da'wat. Like I say, they are deputies of the Anbiya, so it's impossible that they don't do da'wat. But they're doing it in some other style. Maybe you're not aware of it, but they are doing it. So our duty is not to speak out against them, criticize them, run them down. You do your work, let them do their work. You respect them for what they are, and go on with your work. Now, we leave all the work that we need to do, so much of work to be done, and we make it our business to go and run these people down, and we feel now we're doing that work. Don't ever feel like that. Someone is doing madrasa work. Now you say, hey, he's just sitting with a few boys and he's teaching. What he's doing? No da'wat work he's doing. So don't run them down. He's also doing some da'wat. He's doing it in a certain style. Under mashwara of his elders, he's doing it. So why do you run them down? See, outwardly it seems that we're marketing our product. So we run them down is good, so that our market, our product will flow better in the market. By like this is the command of Allah Ta'ala and is the resource, this is also the command of Allah Ta'ala and is the resource. You're running that thing down, you're running down the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If he's told you to make da'wat, then he's commanded you to teach the Quran Sharif as well, to teach hadith, fiqh, qiraat also. That's his command. So you are marketing this product, but in the process you're running this thing down. What are you doing? Is it a sensible thing for the right hand to say, I am the great thing, I do all the writing and everything, so I chop down the left hand? Is that the sensible thing to do? Yes, you are important, but the left is also important. If the right eye is important, then the left eye is also important. If the right ear is important, then the left ear is also important. So appreciate, respect what he's doing. If he's doing some work, he's dedicated in some deen service, let him carry on. You do something else. But don't run down, don't despise, don't disgrace, don't feel I'm the person. And you'll find that you'll go very, very well. Imagine now, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were to hear, get a report of us that we are respecting, we're loving each other, we're cooperating, we're seeing an alim, we're seeing a buzurg, and we're showing the respect, right? Will that bring greater cheer to him? Or that cheer, will that cheer him now? Say, hey, you know, these people are running these people down, they're speaking ill of them. What will cheer him? Obviously, if we are cooperating, we're loving, we're respecting, we're appreciating, then this will bring greater happiness to the Mubarak heart and the soul of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And overall, it strengthens the brotherhood of the Muslim. We want to strengthen brotherhood, so this will strengthen respecting, appreciating, loving, recognizing. And it takes many different types of people's combined service to make a work going. You know, I give an example of an istima. Someone has to do the peeling of the potato. Otherwise, if they don't do the peeling of the potato, that person that's giving the bayan on the stage, he'll say, no, I can't. One day I did it, now next day I can't do it. They depend on the energy from him. So if you work in a combined way, we pool our resources, combined way, we think great and respect each other, okay, then you will find that this ummah is producing tremendously, very, very, very well. People will see it and they'll be attracted. They're not running each other, they're not despising, they're not looking down. Like in a community, you've got a university and you've got a pre-primary crash, you've got, and the university runs the crash down. You won't get anybody coming to the university afterwards. If you run the crash down, will you get someone coming to the university again? You won't get. So there's different levels. He's doing one level, then someone is doing a second level, a third level, fourth level. You're coming right to the top in this way. But all respect, they love, they recognize, and you see what a beautiful atmosphere. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasifah.